Nee.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Can all the brothers come close together, please? All the brothers on the right and left, please come in the middle. Qareeb qareeb tashreef le aaye. Sit close together. Our young friends that's leaning against the wall, please come forward.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا During the month of Ramadan in the Witr Salah, many a day you will hear the Imam reciting in the first rakat Surah Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. This was a surah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved to recite on any occasion. So on the day of Jum'ah, he would recite Sabbihisma Rabbika Al-A'la, first rakat, Hal Ataka Hadithul Ghashiya. When the Eid would come, he would recite this. In the Witr Salah, he liked to recite first rakat Sabbihisma, second rakat Kul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, third rakat Kul Huwallahu Ahad, and sometimes Kul Huwallahu Ahad, Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas. Many of us, when we hear Quran, it is the voice that appeals to us, and that is wonderful in Quran. But every surah, especially the surahs that are repeated again and again, were meant as a message that has to come to you again and again. Unfortunately, we found an era where the message comes again and again in the most beautiful of manners. But me and you are those that don't understand the message. And it's supposed to trouble a person that I got a message, it's meant for me. And in that message, there's definitely gold. Quran is a miracle. So if a message comes to you from India, Pakistan, example, and you know there was that one land that was yours, your father's, grandfather's, but it's written now in that old Gujarati, and you don't know it. Well, you just put it one side, like, you'll say, I know something is in here. So you'll go look for someone to tell you what it is, that's one, to get a translation. Nowadays you've got Google Translate. You'll just pick picture and the whole meaning will come. That's not enough. Then you'll ponder over it. You'll ponder over every sentence to see, like, what happened. When something is valuable for a person and he knows it's meant for me. Many people in the Ummah thought Quran was meant just to get the Salah done. So it wasn't a message to me. Because of which, I don't understand it, it doesn't matter. The Sheikh understands, the Alim understands, maybe the Hafiz understands. It's not for me. Quran is a message for everyone. And as he will read it and ponder, he will find his own secret in that Quran. Wherever Allah Ta'ala says, ka means you. Indeed, we have given you. What is wrong with you? Have you not seen that you means one person, you. You refers to me, it refers to you. May Allah Ta'ala make the time come now in the world, especially in the English-speaking world. For so many years, people were not able to link with the meaning of Quran. And it was thought that's normal. that if you want to know the meaning of Quran, you must be an alim, a big scholar. Whereas that's abnormal. Any person who reads Kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, first thing he wants to know, what did my Nabi bring? He brought Quran. What Quran? Quran is the collection of the word and the meaning. He wants to know, now what was this for 23 years a mission? As soon as Quran was completed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life was completed. So from day one till the ending, it was only Quran. Only Quran. Now I brought a message to you and I gave you that message 23 years. And in a miraculous manner over the years, 1,400 years of shaitani attacks on Quran and the people of Quran. They tried to close madrasas, they tried to kill scholars, they tried to change Quran. So much of effort was made that Quran mustn't reach us. But Allah Tawarakala had taken a promise that this Quran is protected. No matter what they tried, even if they destroyed an entire city of Islam, Allah Tawarakala made another city come up. And sometimes what Quran mentions, where Fir'aun killed children from the Bani Israel everywhere, in the house of Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salam grew up. Sometimes you will see in the world when we travel, go and see the British Empire, which Muslim lands they went into at the time when they were that brutal power. And what they did with the people of Islam. At that time there was no WhatsApps. There was no one to record and send a message to the world. Today so many died. Today so many passed away. Today this whole village is gone. But they entered into Muslim lands. And when they left it after that, there was no sign of Islam at all. They really thought that in this year they will be able to yuriduna liyutfi'u nur Allah. They desire to blow out the light of Allah. Bi afwahihim, sometimes with their tongue, sometimes with their weapons, sometimes with their might and their steel, their strength. Allah Tabarakallah says, Wallahu mutimmu nurihi. But Allah will complete His light even if they dislike it. During the time where they went around the world and their mission was the end of religion, Allah Tabarakallah brought religion right in them. You people are that miracle. You are like a Musa in the house of a Fir'aun. Fir'aun submitted now. Now your country gave up, like he asked for another Fir'aun, you help us out. And again, if you go to that Fir'aun, you'll see in the middle of their lands, New York City. That word New York is not just a name that was given. There was a lot of satanic meanings in that name chosen also, New York City. That Statue of Liberty had a satanic meaning. It wasn't just someone put up one statue. He said, wow, amazing, let's send it to America. The way it was made, the $1 bill, the way it was made, every message, the completed pyramid, the eye above the pyramid. May the master be happy with what he is seeing. Then the Statue of Liberty, where it says, I am now free, and it put up the fire. And then the chains opened up to say that now that I submitted to the fire finally, I have now become free. All of that was put in the city to show this city now will take forward a satanic movement. And now it will complete a mission which couldn't be completed for 1,400 years. It will bring a total destruction to Iman and the people of Islam. The Statue of Liberty came high, she went in the world, and she put the fire higher than her also. And thereafter they went into the world on the name of United Nations. They had the world cut into pieces, the Muslim world. Once upon a time it was Sham, it was Misr, it was Hijaz. How together with the British they worked. Russia, US, United States and United Kingdom. Three of them got together, which were known as big boys at that time. When you have one itself is terrible, you got two worse, you had three. Three of the biggest got together to break Islam into pieces that it can never ever come up again. Who knows why they said Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Some people say when the Khilafat collapsed, Some say they made this thing when Spain, the Muslims of Spain, were destroyed. Whatever it was, they did not like the Khilafah. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Most likely it was the Khilafah. They waited for so many years. When they brought it down, they said all the king's men and all the kings, I forgot the poem after that, women couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. They never ever thought that this Khilafah can ever be re-established. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself spoke about a time will come where oppressive regimes will take over the world. And then he kept quiet. And then he said, then Allah will re-establish the Khilafah on the manner of Nubuwa. Meaning no matter what effort they will make, it mustn't happen. They cut the world into pieces. The very people who were cutting the world in their own lands, Allah brought Masajid. Masajid came in their own lands. Today when you look at the people marching for Gaza, you will find it in the houses of the Pharaoh. In the houses of the Pharaoh, Muslims are standing up and saying, what are you doing? And in the miracle of Gaza, we saw another miracle that happened. Today, even non-Muslims joined the Muslims to say, what are you doing? That had never happened. We are now seeing a miracle coming in front of us. An Islamic revolution has started. Allah Ta'ala has always used blood of the martyrs to water the gardens of Iman and Islam. Blood that is given with a happy face is the blood that's being given today. So much of sacrifice, it leaves the world in shock. The angels are amazed. Who doesn't love their land, their families, their children? And when you've got a choice between your religion and your family, it's so hard to make that. But the people in this land, what a choice. On what a big scale. So as we go towards that day, everyone is winning. They winning. They're getting martyrdom in the path of Allah. It mustn't happen when everyone is winning, me and you now, because we're sitting in a comfortable state, we lose. That mustn't happen. The people who are being tested, they're winning. They got the hard exam and they're passing it. And me and you got an easy exam and mustn't happen, we fail it. And it happens sometimes. Sometimes the one who thinks my exam is too easy, stop studying. Stop studying. Then when he lands up in the imtihan hall, he says, but I thought the teacher is going to ask an easy question. The teacher was my mate, my friend. I used to go play with the teacher hockey and golf. How could you ask such a hard question? The teacher will say, did you study? He said, no. He said, then everything is hard for you. Everything. When every person studied, he knows he's writing an exam. Even the hard exam becomes easy. Many of us have forgotten this is an exam. Life has become so easy for us that when we see happening outside of us, we cry, we sad about it, but always in the back of our mind, it cannot happen to me. It cannot happen. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was not like that. He grew up in the house of Fir'aun, but he was not pampered. He grew up in the house of the king, but he understood, I am not meant to be the prince of this palace. I am meant to be the prince in the palace of Allah. He knew that although I got luxury today and my people are being persecuted outside, when the war and the target is Islam on a whole, whoever is part of this Islam can one day become the target also. We can never ever sit thinking that it won't happen to us. So I also have to become prepared for an exam. If Islam goes on the rise and the world changes, you have an Islamic revolution. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke, a time will come where if one camp is established in which there is only iman, no hypocrisy. He said another camp will be established where there's only hypocrisy, no iman. He was not speaking about non-Muslim camps. He was speaking the Muslim camp will divide in two. Either it's iman with no hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means you believe, but when suddenly you see your business going to suffer, your family is going to suffer, you're going to suffer, then cowardice grabs you and you pull back. It's like the person Quran describes is walking in the night, but then when lightning strikes, he pulls back. He says, what if the lightning hits me? Allah Ta'ala said, this person is not going front, he's not going back. There are people in the world at the moment that death has become more beloved to them than living. Death has become more beloved. Sometimes they will even write that, why did the bomb not fall on us? And the man will write there that, I already lost everyone around me. So what is there to live in this world for? But now it's not falling on me. That man, when they tell him, get out, he's telling, shoot, shoot. And I'm not getting out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come where Almighty Allah will put the fear of the enemy in you. Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, when will that happen? He said, when the believers will get a certain sickness, weakness, wahan. He asked, what is this wahan, weakness? He said, when my ummah will have a dislike for death. Alhamdulillah, in the world we have now seen a change take place. Although it's only in one land, but Allah has made fire spread very fast. In one land, we have seen people have now been created who death has become more beloved to them than living. That was the nature of the first part of the ummah. When they reached the lands of Sham, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu could write to the king that, you might look at my numbers and you might think we are too little for your huge armies. He said, I have people with me who death is more beloved than living. He said, as you love your wine and you wait for it at night, these people at night are in salah waiting for death the next morning. That was what tore the worlds of kufr apart, and it will be what will tear it apart again. And Allah has now created such people, and fire spreads very fast. Allah Tawarutala bring the day that for me and you, it mustn't be tests and exams have to come first, and then we have to start saying, death is better for me than life. We can start doing it even before an exam comes. You have to understand, what is death? Is it something scary? Is it the ending or is it the beginning? We got journeys in this world, that's all. One journey finished when we were in the womb. It lasted about 6 to 9 months. After 4 months in the womb, soul is blown in the womb. After that, you got about 5 months. Me and you spent about 5 months in the womb. During that 5 months, everyone enjoyed it. And maybe all of us thought there can be nothing better than the womb. The food was coming without any hisab, kitab. I could move around in the womb. There was no one troubling me. That child, if you had to tell him, one day you'll come in a world where if you park your car in the wrong place, you'll get a fine. That child will say, I'm not coming out. I'm staying, no fines in the womb. You'll say, you rather come out and get the fine. When the child came out, he cried. Why he cried? He wasn't ready for another world. And he could never believe there could be something bigger than the womb. They took out the child, he was in one room. The child's opening his eyes, trying to see, what's this? What he saw, a huge room compared to the small womb. And the child said, I never know the world is so big. Child was shocked. Sometimes he cried in shock. Then the mother put him, then he started drinking his milk and he just couldn't understand what's happening. But then came the time where the mother told, you can take the child out of the hospital. As the child is walking and looking around, he said, I never knew the world is bigger than one room. Went into the house, the child is looking. Every new person coming, uncle, auntie, the child's wondering, I never knew there's so many people in the world. Have you ever thought how a child thinks when you go and carry the child? Why the child wants to cry? The child is already shocked. They say, enough now. It's just getting bigger. It's just getting bigger. Give me a chance. Then ever you see in the first time the child goes outside and the eye of the child opens and it sees grass wherever it can see. And it sees high buildings and it sees mansions. And it never thought the house can be bigger than the house. But now it saw a town. Then they'll put that child one day in a car and start driving. And the child will look around and see towns. One day the child will get the chance to go into the air. And as they're flying over continents, and the child is looking at oceans and oceans and oceans, it only gets bigger, 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 bigger. But the time comes that again me and you start thinking, but it can't get any bigger. It's only 7 continents, that's the end. That's the end. This world compared to what's coming next, the world of Barzakh, is nothing like the comparison between the womb and this world. The womb was small, this world is big, but you can still compare the two. Because both of them reach a point where we say, bas, you can't do more. Once the eye closes, you enter into a new world. It's made up of stages now. One is Barzakh. Barzakh is either an introduction to Jannah. Allah make it for us that. It could be an introduction to Jahannam. If it's an introduction to Jannah, on every occasion in that world, when the angel will be taking the soul to experience what is Jannah, when the soul is brought back to that world, the soul will say, so when is Qiyamah? When can it start? And again the soul will be told, relax, there's still a lot to show you. Relax. And if a person is punished in the world of Barzakh, and he gets punished, and he can't manage it anymore, then the angel says to him, if you really think this is something hard, then you don't know what's coming in front. That world is still coming. Allah make it that when we enter that world, it's only happiness. And every time the angels say, and it's even more coming in front. Even more. That world is not the end of life. It's the beginning of a new journey. It is a journey where there's no pain anymore. No difficulty. It is a journey no one can break your house now. Because you are in a place where no one can harm you. Some people who hated the people of Iman, they said, where is he buried? Then they went looking for the grave. They said, we'll take out the body. We'll put up the body. We'll stab the body. You say, you can do what you want to the body. The soul has already gone to a place where you'll never be able to touch it. You can do with this body because there's no soul in this body. We bury it to respect it. But Barzakh is somewhere else. A world in which now there is no future gham, worry. There is no future worry of pain, worry of poverty, worry of difficulty, worry of one's family. That's a world. Someone will say, if I knew in South Africa or in England or in America that they are now building one city, as soon as you enter it, my leg pains go to disappear. I couldn't move my leg for a while. They said, just go to that one city. As soon as you enter it, your leg will start moving again. I had a problem eating. I used to eat very little, but so much of food. And if someone told me, eat more, then I would become sick. But I heard of a city coming that there you will enjoy. You will drink from the waters of paradise. You will taste from the fruits of paradise. You'll enjoy. You'll never get sick. I said, can't I go there? I heard of a city where sickness doesn't come. I heard of a city where death doesn't come. If that man has to be told to go to that city, you need to sell up. Very fast. Very fast. The world of the shayateen are making a city. It's called the city of Neom. N-E-O-M. Neom. M for Mustaqbil, the future. City of the future. In the city of the future, they got a dream. Right at the beginning of the Ummah, there was one man who came from the nation of Ad. There were two brothers, mighty brothers. The one brother died, so Shaddad, he took over. Shaddad was told, you're behaving like you are king. There's another world where it is the real kingdom. But when a man is stubborn, instead of looking for that world, he said, what world are you talking about? They said, it is a world which never ends. It is a world where there's gold and silver. It is a world where the bricks are of gold and silver, where the sand is of musk. It is a world, as they told him, instead of looking for that world, when man becomes stubborn, he says, I don't need Allah to give me that. I can make it myself. So Shaddad, whatever he had, he spent in the building of his city. Whatever he had. And the ulama write, when the time came on the completion of the city, and Shaddad and all his ministers, all his family is now going to move to go into the city of Jannah. was his Jannah. He used everything he can to build it. Why? He wasn't ready to have it there by Allah. He wanted it here. This world is such, either it goes before you or you go before it. Shaddad reaches the outskirts of the city. And that is when Allah Tabarakala says to the angel, take Shaddad and all his people and take the city and everything. One command of Allah and everything disappeared. The city of Shaddad is not known where it is. These people who go to dig, all they're looking for is where is Shaddad city? Jannah on earth. He never got it. But what a dream he had. How many years later from Shaddad? Perhaps 7,000. From Shaddad, 6,000 to 7,000 years have now passed. At the end of the world, we find another nation that stands up to say, let's build Jannah on earth again. And the city of Neom has now been planned. It is really a city where when they'll announce it, they will say, if you walk in ill, you'll come out better. If you got a leg problem, enter into the city, you will be given a new leg, printed leg for you. And a lot of things they have got already, and a lot of dreams, which Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, ma hum bi balighi. But where they want to reach, they will not manage to reach. But to establish that city and to tell the world, you want Jannah, come. At that time, me and you have to say, we want Jannah, but we know where it is. There is no Jannah on earth. No Jannah. In this world, you want a garden, you'll have to take the garden with thorns. Then the person will ask you, how's it? You will say, my garden is tops. But if he asks, it got no thorns. You'll say, obviously it got thorns. Don't ask. You get married. Someone asks you, how's marriage life? What you'll say? You'll say, tops. But if he asks, start questioning that your wife don't trouble you. You say, don't ask those questions. Why must you ask? How can you have marriage life without moods, without anger, without attitudes, without sometimes she's in the mood, sometimes she's not in the mood. You in the mood, not. If the mother-in-law carries on asking her daughter-in-law, the mother asks her daughter, that how's son-in-law? And that one asks the son, how's daughter-in-law? If you carry on asking, carry on messaging, how's it? Then one time your daughter might write, today he shouted me. Suddenly you say, oh, he shouted her. Now you can't sleep whole night. Now you take out your wazifa kitab, you're reading, dua for anger. You don't remember when you got married, you were bashing up. But she wasn't messaging anyone. This thing about today, tell everything. It's like entering a garden and saying, there's a thorn there. Let's take out the thorn. You'll say, if you're going to take out the thorn, the rose is going to break. Just leave the thorn. Learn to hold the flower without getting pricked. Learn how to handle your wife without getting pricked. And she must learn how to handle you without getting pricked. This world cannot be Jannah. Even if you enter the city of Neom, and they might say, Jannah on earth, you can't get a Jannah on earth. But where Shaddad tried and he failed, 6,000 to 7,000 years later, a new group wants to do it again, Jannah on earth. For me and you, we have conviction that Jannah starts when these eyes close. Jannah starts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about people who fires were lit. And the enemy said, go in the fire and burn. He said, they walked in the fire. Everyone else looked at them burning. He said, in reality, they had gone straight into paradise. The body burns, the soul is already gone. The body burns. One individual in the defense of Islam, when the enemy was shooting, he was with his friend. And then sometimes when you're not hearing the bullet, then you look up to see if the enemy is still gone, if they're around. He lifted his head and the bullet hit him. He passed away. His friend shook him, started crying. That's normally you'll cry. At night he has a dream. He sees his friend smiling, relaxing. He asks him, what happened to you? He says, I don't know. I looked up and I felt a prick. The prick made, I opened my eyes and I saw I was in the heavens. He never felt the bleeding. He never felt the pain. He felt the prick of an ant. It was, ah! Suddenly he saw himself just moving through the airs. And the angels are saying, who's this? What a wonderful smell. What's his name? I saw all that. He said, you never saw how you suffered. He said, the body suffers, the soul doesn't suffer. What we're seeing in the land at the moment, the destruction. We are seeing people going into a fire. Those people are experiencing entering into Jannah. They're going into Jannah like anything. But me and you also have to know that our world starts when the eye closes. As long as this fear of death remains in us, the fear of the enemy will always be within us. Karahiyatul maut, hubbud dunya. You love this world, you don't want to leave, you like Shaddad. They say, Bal Jannah, you say, I'll build it here also. Say, Bal Jannah, you say, I'll build it here. We have to be ready to build a Jannah there. Harun al-Rashid was a king in the time of the Abbasids, a khalif. He was generous. A khalif, the wealth of the khalif and the Abbasids, they had Iraq. The lands of Kufa and Baghdad, the waters of the Tigris and the Euphrates. It was at that time and it was a booming land. It was the center of the Muslim world. During the era of Harun Rashid, there was a pious man, Bahlul. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala had blessed him that he was used to sit in the companies of kings and to bring them down, to teach them that don't look too much for Jannah on earth. So whenever they would pass by him, Bahlul would be engaged with his students. He had a small madrasa. He was not interested in the wealth of the kings. So they write an incident in the time of Bahlul that Harun Rashid goes past and he respected Bahlul, but he always regarded Bahlul to be a little bit like funny. Because Bahlul had no interest in wealth. But you would pass him and say, make dua for me, and he would carry on. On occasion he passes and Bahlul is making castles. Their children with him, they used to enjoy Bahlul's company. So they're making castles. So the king asked, now what you up to? He said, at the moment I'm selling castles. These are the castles of Jannah. So Harun Rashid smiled. He said, lovely castles. So he said, what's the price? So he says that not much. This one here it's like 1 dirham. This one is a little bigger. This is 10 dirhams. This one is about 20 dirhams because small children had made it. So if you give the small child a dirham, he runs and he goes buy some sweets. So he had prices that this boy made a bigger one. Harun Rashid laughed. If he had to take out 1 dirham, nothing would have happened because he's the king of millions. But sometimes man becomes so stingy that even to take out 1 pound. So he just laughed and he carried on. Women are different. Women, it's very easy to catch a woman. That's why the best time to collect money, don't do it with men, do it with the woman who got the husband's cards. They're not bothered like, they can swipe with Bismillah. Women are like that. Their nature is. So his wife, she happened to pass by Bahlul and she wanted to know, what's these castles? Saying, selling the castles of Jannah, a woman is a woman. She'll never be like a man, stingy. Even if she knows it means nothing. See, you make one cake. That cake got no value. The auntie knows how much the value of the cake is. But one girl will come and say, I'm selling a cake. Say, how much? Say, 50 pounds. She'll give you the 50 pounds also. You come home, you ask, what's this cake? She said, they were selling in the market. You ask the price. After you ate, you don't want to eat it. Like, you wasted my money for this. A woman, she's not bothered. She'll make cakes for no one to eat also. That's how they are. Sell anything. Sell anything. Biscuits, roti, papar, achar, whatever you sell, there's an auntie ready to buy it. There's always like, she knows how to make everything, she'll still buy it. That's how women are. That's why Allah put rosy of some in the hands of others. Like, they make a lot of money. Lot of money. I went to one Dastar Khan, I said, the way the women are like working today, Allah reward them all. That man said, Maulana, none of them are working, they're buying from that other place. It's a new era, like, auntie's not working, just phone here, order this one, right? Get me that, get me that, get me that, get me that. Everything comes. Jannah on earth for them also. So that's when the husband said, in the past, you used to make dua for the aunties. Now you make dua for me because it's my money going. They're just relaxing in the back there. So when she passed by, she gave the dirhams. 10 dirhams. What was 10 dirhams? She bought the biggest castle. That night, Harun Rashid has a dream. In the dream, he's walking and he finds himself in a castle of paradise, in front of it. And he is so thrilled with this castle, but he sees on the front of it his wife's name written. So it shocks him, like, what she got? How come she got this? Where's mine? And as he carries on, he comes to another bigger castle. So the first one was the 1 dirham one, because women, they buy it all. Like, came to a bigger castle, again his wife's name, a bigger castle. And as it carried on, he just woke up and he's like, he's looking at his wife sleeping next to him. He wants to wake up and ask, like, so in the morning he's upset. He's upset. So he asks, like, what you did recently? She says, nothing. He said, I saw your castles in Jannah. She looked at him and she laughs. She says, hey, Bahlul told me he's selling castles in Jannah. I never believed him. But I just gave him the money. Early in the morning, Harun Rashid sets out. Where's Bahlul? Where's Bahlul? Now you come and you see the castle, Bahlul. You get so happy. I'm going to buy Jannah now. Jannah. He comes to Bahlul. He says, you're still selling castles? He says, yes. Immediately he starts taking out his money. He says, how much? Bahlul says, you sell me your kingdom and I'll give you a castle in Jannah. You sell me your kingdom. And he looks at him and he says, how dare you? Like, yesterday you were offering 1 dirham and now you wanted my kingdom. Bahlul says, yesterday it was 1 dirham for the one who never saw Jannah. For the one who has now seen Jannah, you have to give your kingdom. It was 1 dirham for the one who never saw Jannah. Allah made it such me and you never saw Jannah. Because of which the price of Jannah is very cheap. You can get it with £1 also. A day will come which Quran speaks about when the man will see what's there. He will say, whatever I have in the world, I'll be ready to give it as a ransom. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala say, today nothing is accepted. Even to free yourself, give the world, no way. We haven't seen Jannah, but that world is coming. Be convinced about it. It was kept away from our eye to keep its price low. If Allah had to show us the price, show us Jannah, we would have to give our lives. Year and year, sacrifice it all. Allah made it easy. He just kept it in ghaib, that you haven't seen it. You only heard about it. He heard from Bahlul, he laughed. We heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can't laugh. We heard from Quran. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. Indeed, what's coming there is much better for you than what's here. That world is coming. You can't find Jannah on earth. But for Jannah to start, the eyes have to close. While we got life, don't run to die. But when life comes to an end, don't run from death. While we got life, don't run to die. But when death is in front, you don't run from death. It is something that we say, I always waited for this time. I knew it was coming. And I know it's not the ending, it's the beginning only. It's the beginning of another journey where I'll be like the child. I'll see one room first. I'll say, so huge. They'll say, open up for him his grave as far as the eye can see. Then a window will be opened. Say, let him look into Jannah. Jannah will be even more bigger. Then when the angel will come with a bird of Jannah. And do you want to fly in Jannah? Then when you fly, it gets even bigger. Every time you tell the angel, this is Jannah, he says, this is just a small picture of it. It only gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Entertainment starts in the world of the grave. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala in His kindness make our graves gardens from the gardens of Jannatul Firdaus. But until we reach that day where the eye closes, let us work on this insight as what we are seeing in the world. And it is sad, but every time you hear of it, I want you to repeat this to yourself. These are people who are not scared of death. How come I'm still scared? Allah Tabarak Ta'ala bless us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever will ask Allah for martyrdom and he will be sincere, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala will raise him one day to the ranks of the martyrs. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala bless us all with martyrdom in his path. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala, let death be what it is, a gift for the believer. Let us see it as a gift. And the day death comes in front of us, let us receive it as a gift from Allah. It is not the end of the kindness of Allah, it's only the beginning. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم بسم الله ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتنا. Allah, in your kindness, put us on such a path that we are able to leave now every sin for as long as we are alive. ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتنا وارحمنا ورحمنا واحفظنا أن نتكلف فيما لا يعنينا. And Allah, surround us, protect us, have mercy on us, keep us away from getting involved in things that are futile, in things that really give no benefit to any of us. Allah, let a vision come in front of us. Allah, whatever step we do, let it be to make you happy. Whatever sentence we say, let it be to make you happy. There is a few days in this world. Allah, let our every sentence during those days, our every action during those days, our every step during those days be towards your happiness. Allah, open a path that we can also become servants of your deen. We can become servants of your Quran. We can help and to serve humanity. We can look after your creation. We can make the sad person smile. We can make the hungry person satiated. Allah, grant us that heart that where we only worry about spending on ourselves, can come the time where now we worry of spending on others. Allah, grant us so much of satiation, so much of contentment with what you have given us, with what you have given us, that we never have to look at the wealth of others with the eye of desire. Allah, let us not be dependent on anyone but you. Allah, let us not be dependent on anyone but you. Allah, let us be the hand that is the receiving hand. Allah, to be a asker, to be a beggar, Allah, it is most difficult. Allah, in your kindness, let it always be that we are the hand that is giving. Allah, let it always be that we are the hand that is giving. Bless us with that afia. Bless us with that security. Bless us with that protection. Allahumma la taj'alna fitnatan lilladheena kafaru. Allah, let us not be the exam of the people of kufr. Allah, let us not be the exam for the people of kufr. Allah, do not bring upon us such leaders that will show no kindness and mercy to us. Allah, as you have always kept us in the best of conditions, let every stage after be even one better. When the eye closes, let a stage even better open. Allah, when we stand on the plains of Hashar, let it even be easier. Allah, on every stage after that, until you deliver us into the highest of places of Jannatul Firdaus, Allah, let your kindness upon us never ever come to an end. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.